for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday evening service of July the 7th, 1995, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Billy Schaffner is the speaker for the evening.
I will turn the rest of the evening to Brother Billy Schaffner to minister to us the Word of the Lord and teach us.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Glenn. My, what a pleasure it has been these few days that I have got to be in the camp and to receive from the Word and from the anointing and from the ministries. I feel that I've been blessed to have gotten to be here. And we appreciate the invitation that Brother Glenn and Irma gave us to come and minister the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Tonight, how many of you are going to help me preach tonight? I want to see your hands. You're going to help me preach. Now, you got to help me. I see your hands, and if I catch you not helping me, I'll pray for you. Amen. My, we had a great time today. This has been a great day. Great all through the camp, I'm sure. I didn't get the first part of it, but the time I've been here, it's been great. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure there shall be a continuance of it right on through. I've got some things on my heart tonight that I want to share. I've been trying to get around to them the last two nights, and tonight I want to share with you what I'm going to call the manifestation, or seven manifestations, of the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you know that Jesus set before us in His life all the things that was going to happen? I mean, He set the pattern, and in His ministry, in His death, in His resurrection, He portrayed or He showed us things that were going to happen right on into the eternal. Do you know that? All right, now, if you didn't know that, you know it now. So you can have a perspective as you study the Gospels. You can have that perspective and the reality that you're going to find in the life of Jesus and in His ministry, the thing that is going to happen right into the kingdom of God. And tonight I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading in verse 27. And I'm going to interact or interweave the two other Gospels, Mark and Matthew, who also recorded this same incident. And you very well know what it is. It is the experience of the Mount Transfiguration. And I believe that I see this scripture around on the materials from the camp here. And one of the scriptures is in 2 Peter 2:17. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, you're going to have to know that incident, that experience, that supernatural changing of glory from the excellent glory of God impressed Peter to the extent that he wrote it. and I've read it, and it's preserved in the Word of God, that this was a happening in the life of Jesus, where from the excellent glory the voice of God was heard. And from that excellent glory the voice of God is still heard through the Word, through the Spirit, through prophetic word. Hallelujah. This is the most exciting time that's ever been in the walk of the believer. There has never been a day like this day. There has never been the expectation that is arising in the hearts and lives of God's people. For right upon the horizon is the breaking of the kingdom of God. And Jesus wanted you to know just about how it was going to happen. Now let me say that again. Jesus wanted you and I to know just about how the kingdom of God was going to be manifested. And that's one reason that this scripture was quickened, inspired, and written and preserved for you. Okay, we're going to read. I'm going to read the entire happening here, beginning in verse 27. Also, I'm going to read verse 27. I'm going to read how that is interchangeable with Mark chapter 9, verse 1, and maybe also Matthew 16 and 28. Now, these are the three places that gives this account of the transfiguration or the change or the metamorphosis that happened in Christ. It's hard for me to not get ahead of myself. But let me say this to you. On the own start of the message, there is a inner man. There is a life within you tonight. There is that same spirit that dwells in you tonight. I have dwelling within me the spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And that spirit that dwells in me is quickening my physical body. Hallelujah. Let it happen. Amen. So I want you to know before we begin to minister tonight, there is within each one of us, each believer, the potential that was in Christ that day when that metamorphosis or that change took place. And it took place and was recorded again, and it so impressed the Apostle Peter that he wrote it in 2 Peter 1:17. And he so impressed this preacher throughout this week to speak these words and to go over this account to point out to us some of the manifestations of the kingdom of God so that we can be expecting and knowing when it begins to happen. Hallelujah. Glory. All right, let's read, or I won't ever get to read. Verse 27, Jesus said, I tell you of a truth, there is some standing here, or there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, there's some that's here that's not going to die, he said, until they see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 28, it says, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these saying, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Now, I want you to turn with me quickly to Mark chapter 9, verse 1, 9 and 1 of Mark. The Bible says, we'll read the first two verses. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Verse 2 is what I'm in reference to now. Mark and Matthew records this. And after 6 days, everybody say after 6 days. After 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John and leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured there before them. Now I want to say a little something about 6 days. Everybody understands about 6 days, I'm sure. You are well informed on the numerical numbers of the kingdom that we are living in the sixth day. How many of you understand that in the Bible principle of time, we're living in the sixth day? Do you know, you understand that? From Adam until now, there has been 6 days or six of God's days. 1,000 years as a day, or a day as 1,000 years. So actually, we are living in the sundown of time, or maybe even at the dawning of the seventh day. Now, how many of you know, in kingdom terms, or in the kingdom time element, how many of you know what the number seven is? It is that perfection, or that completion, or that consummation of the age of the kingdom. We've come through six. We're living in the sixth. There were 6 days of creation. God created in the 6 days. In the sixth day, he highlighted his creation. He made man. That was the height of his creation. But before he made man, he created everything that man needed. And then he created man and gave him dominion over all of the things that he had created. And there is a lot of things that happens in the sixth day. In the law, they were to gather manna how many days? 6 days. They were to gather manna Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And on the sixth day, they were to gather how much manna? They were to gather a double portion on the sixth day. Let me tell you what is happening here, honey. In this sixth day, God's people, those that are walking with God and moving with God and hearing the voice of the most excellent glory, is gathering that double portion on this day. Of knowledge, of revelation, of the love and of the faith and of the character and of the nature of God. This is the sixth day. And in this sixth day we shall gather a double portion of His life. Hallelujah. And on the seventh day, there will be a manifestation of His glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Will you pardon me for jumping the track? Hosea chapter 5. You'll have to give me a little time to find it because I don't have it marked. I think it's right after Ezekiel, though. Y'all told me you was going to help me. No, Daniel. Y'all told me you was going to help me preach. So help me. Amen. Look in the 15th verse of the 5th chapter of Hosea. God said, I'll go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and in their affliction they will seek me early. Slice it like you want to, but times of prosperity does not draw people to God. You know this. You know the prosperity that America has enjoyed for the last number of years, and the last few years have been years of prosperity, and there's been more apostasy and falling away in the last few years. I mean into gross sin that you and I don't even like to think about. But he said, in their affliction, they'll seek me. We're getting in a good shape right now to begin to seek God in this nation. But that wasn't what I was going to tell you. What I was going to tell you is the prophetic word that Hosea gave to us here in the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 1, "Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us." There's coming restoration. "He has smitten, and he'll bind us up. After 2 days," everybody say 2 days. "After 2 days," now we're counting from Jesus. We're counting from the time of grace. "After 2 days," Doc told me last night, we lost 5 years of this century or in the last 2 centuries, we lost 5 years. He said that they didn't begin to mark A.D., the time A.D., until 5 years after Jesus' birth. So that being the case, we're sitting on the second, at the end of the second day. We're sitting right in the mouth of the third day. Now listen what's going to happen. Hallelujah, I can't hardly wait. "After 2 days," this is what's going to happen. "He's going to revive us." We're going to have revival. Now you can get ready, we're going to have revival. "After 2 days," after 2,000 years has elapsed, or two of God's days. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. "After those 2 days, he's going to revive us, and in the third day, he will raise us up, and we'll live in his sight." Now, if the prophet says we're going to live in his sight, we're going to live in his sight. We're going to see the manifested glory of the Lord on the third day. Now, this is what Jesus is wanting to point out here in these three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, concerning the transfiguration on the mountain. Now, let me point out to us, I was going to read the whole account, but maybe we'll just read as we go. He chose Peter, James, and John to go with him. Now, I don't know why he done that, but I know that he done that. And if I could speculate just a little bit on why he had chosen those three apostles, I would think that it indicates there is a company of people that is in an inner circle around Jesus today. Now, I'm putting this in present time. You've got to see the relation of that transfiguration right here. You've got to see how it relates to your time. And if you don't see that, I've spent this time tonight in vain. Because my whole intention and motive and desire is to show you that Jesus showed us how it was going to happen, and that when we get to this time and place through the prophetic word of God, it's going to happen in your presence. And that ought to make every one of us want to draw in close to him. That ought to make us want to lay our heads over on his breast. That ought to make us want to hear even when he whispers. Because when he got ready to manifest the supernatural transfiguration, he called Peter, James, and John. This is not the first time he called those guys. He called them when he went to raise the little damsel there in the house of Jairus. He called them to go pray with him. It was these three men that when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he said, "You three come on just a little closer into me. I'd feel better if y'all was close to me." I'm telling you, Jesus want some inner circle people today drawing in close to him, desiring his will, desiring his word, desiring to obey him, desiring to work and walk with him, desiring to do his will, desiring that you give him your life completely committed to him. Hallelujah. When I preach this, I don't exclude or mutilate anybody from the body of Christ. Don't ever put me on record as doing that. But when I'm preaching kingdom ministry, and when I'm preaching overcoming ministry, I've got to note that there is a company of overcomers. I've got to note that there was an inner circle of people that walked with Jesus. I've got to note that all through the Word of God, there were those that were called especially to perform the work and the plans and the purposes of God, like Moses, and like Joseph, and like David, and all of those that God especially called in to walk with Him, to deliver His people. God is calling a company of deliverers today. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you a little something else about this incident. I've been to Israel and I've been to Tabor, Mount of Transfiguration, and I looked at it pretty close. And there's a lot of underbrush right at the base of that thing. And if you can imagine walking through that underbrush to get to the clearing, you're going to have to know that it was a pretty treacherous climb. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying if you get to where it's happening, you're going to have to come through some underbrush. You're going to have to come through some pressure. You're going to have to come against some theology of man. You're going to have to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today, because at the base of this mountain, there was a space where those guys had to pick their way through the thorns and brushes and push their way before they got out into the opening. How many of you know what it means to kindly have to push your way and press your way into the kingdom? Somebody said it today. You said it today, Kyle. The prophets prophesied unto John, and then they that, quote that for me. Can you quote it for me? They that take the kingdom, they take it by violence and by force. That means you can't just lay back and drift with the water. Well, if he wants me in this, he'll put me in it. Famous last words. It don't happen that way. You paddle upstream. Hallelujah. There's a press at the base of the mountain of change. There is pressures and trials. And if there's any way that the enemy can keep you from coming out into the opening where it's going to happen, he'll stop you. He'll stop the word flow. He'll stop the revelation. He'll stop the moving of God. He'll stop the gifts of the Spirit. He'll stop the prophetic word. Anything that he can do to slow down the process of that company that's coming up into the mountain, he'll do that. Hallelujah. He'll try to do that. But I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. It's a sound of war. It's a sound of praise. The army of the Lord. I stood here last night, walked here last night, preached here last night against forces that I'd never preached against in this place. You say, well, what was it? I don't know. There was an entanglement. But I got through it. And I'll tell you something else. I'll get through it the next time. Amen. With the anointing of God and with the purpose and plan of God, I'll get through it the next time. And when I went home last night, the enemy was saying, ha, ha, you didn't flow with it tonight. You didn't go with it tonight. See, you might not have told anything was wrong. But I knew there was something wrong. I knew that I was trying to get through that press to where the flow and the supernatural power of God was flowing. And I have dealt with this element enough that I know when I get in the press that I don't give up, I don't turn back, I don't let anybody discourage me, because I know the next time God's going to cut me loose. Hallelujah. And you can let the devil beat you over the head and tell you you didn't do a good job and you didn't say the right words and you didn't express yourself right if you want to, but it's lies of the devil. When God calls you, He qualifies you, and what He gives you to minister and say, He'll bless it. And it'll be profitable and it'll be fruitful. And so to get to where it happened at, they had to press through the underbrush. And I imagine that it was a very treacherous journey. The Bible says, and it came to pass about 8 days, they went up into the mountain to pray. Now, this was the purpose that it lists here. It was, I've already mentioned the fact that Jesus was going to manifest to us the aspects of the kingdom. But He went to pray. And nobody prayed like Jesus prayed. Hallelujah. But now He's giving us word, and He's giving us direction. He went to pray. And when He began to pray, He prayed transfigured. He prayed the change. The change happened when He prayed. Do you get it? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's when you pray. It's not when you just say a prayer. It's not when you go through the form, but it's when you pray. He prayed Himself. As He was praying, He was transfigured. Now, that tells me volumes about this company that's going to behold the manifestation of the kingdom. They're going to be praying people. They're going to be people that are going to make time for prayer. Because while Jesus was praying, the Bible said, while He was praying, the fashion of His countenance was changed. This word from the Greek rendering is metamorphosis. It means a changing from one stage into another stage. Changing from one form into another form. You find it here in this record. You find it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. You find it in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The same word is metamorphosis, a changing. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, it wasn't a change from the outside in. It was a change from the inside out. And that's going, Brother Glenn, that's going to be that gradual, progressive change of the kingdom. It's not going to, you're not going to just be zapped into it. You won't be zapped into this in just a moment. There is a metamorphosis that's taking place behind these veils of flesh. Nobody can see it. And you know, I thought when Jesus, when it states here that when He began to pray, His countenance begins to change, that means the way He looked, that means His body language, that means His whole, in other words, He was changed just like He's going to be in the kingdom. When you see Him in the kingdom, He'll be just like He was on the mountain. And just like it was when the voice came from the most excellent glory saying, "This is My Son, and hear ye Him." Praise God. And let me tell you this, folks. You know that on the day of His ascension, Acts chapter 1, when Jesus assembled with them there on the Mount Olivet, and when He stepped into that cloud, or when He came into the cloud and the cloud caught Him up, And you know what the angel said to those that were standing there looking up? You know what the angel said? Why do you stand gazing into the heavens? Do you know what that's what the church world is doing today? They're doing nothing more than gazing. They're gazing into the heavens. I'm telling you, there's more going on than just gazing. They were gazing as if to say, we're trying to hold him, or we're trying to bring him back. Why stand you gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see go away shall return in like manner. Now, I believe he's coming again. And I believe he's coming in clouds. I believe he went away in clouds, and I believe that he's coming in clouds. But it will not be them kind of clouds that you see out there in the sky and in the heavens. It will be in the glorified saints. It will be clouds of glory indeed, and when it's beheld, it will be like the clouds of glory. Hallelujah to God. Jesus wanted us to see in the scriptures, he wanted these three men to see just how he was going to look when he was transformed, when he was transfigured. You know, I certainly don't believe in evolution as the evolutionist teaches it, but I believe in the change, and I believe it's taking place now. I believe even tonight, while I speak the word of the Lord, as the word of the Lord goes forth, I believe there is a metamorphosis that's taking place within me. Praise God. And the reason that I believe that there is a metamorphosis or a change that's taking place in me, the Bible tells me that it's taking place. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
In 1 John 3 and 2. Now listen to this scripture. I know they're very familiar. We've just discussed. We use the same scriptures over and over. I've been ministering for many years, and I'm using the same scriptures that I used all the way up. But the thing of it is that the Holy Spirit is just unveiling the depth and the dimension of the Scriptures. You cannot read a verse of Scripture and say, I'm going to drive a stake down here. This is what this Scripture actually means. This is all it means. You can't do that. Because that word is spirit and life. And if you know it, you only know it from an intellectual knowledge. You don't know it in the spirit. Because the next time, the very next time, you read that verse of Scripture prayerfully in the spirit, it will unveil to you another dimension of Christ. I want to tell you that he that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you've got to be born of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom. You've got to be born of the Spirit to even be able to get a revelation of the kingdom. I was born of the Spirit for a long time, didn't have any revelation of the kingdom of God. But when I was washed the water of the Word and filled with the Spirit, I began to see and I began to enter the kingdom of God. One day I was sitting up on our church, up on the roof. We was putting a roof on our fellowship hall, and I'd been roofing, and it was real hot. It was a summer day, real hot. I was hot and thirsty and sweating, and I turned around and sit down on the roof, and about that time a cool breeze just blew across me. And I sat there enjoying the breeze, and all of a sudden,
the scripture came to mind, he that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. Every man that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. And I said, now that's not the way that's wrote. That's not the way I preached that. You know, I argued with what I was hearing. I was hearing every man that's born of the Spirit is like the wind, but I had preached years and years that the Spirit was like the wind. And of course it is in a sense, but that's not what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He said, every man that's born of the Spirit is like the wind. And I sat there a little while longer. Yeah, look that up, Doc. See if I'm saying that right. Hallelujah. John 3, down there about verse 8 somewhere. Ma'am?
So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Read the verse in front of it.
The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it.
Okay, now listen. The wind does what?
Blows where it wishes.
It blows where it wants to. It blows where it wishes, okay?
The sound of it.
You hear it.
But can't tell where it comes from.
You can't tell where it comes from.
And where it goes.
And where it goes.
So is everyone.
Everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. Now you just chew on that a little while. I sit there and chewed on it for an hour out there in the sun. And then I got out off the roof and run in my study and got my Bible to see if that's what it really said. And when I found out that that's what it really said, I said, wow! Every person that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. I can be a hurricane or I can be a gentle breeze. I can take a tree up by the roots or I can blow just a small gale and move a shin or move the limbs of the trees, because that is what that scripture says. Everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. And when you start studying the circulations of the wind and how it moves, man, volumes begin to open in my spirit. Man, I can be here on this roof 1 minute, and the next hour, I can be in Dallas if I'm like the wind. I know this sounds way off the wall, but this is the way it'll be in the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And he said, if you're born of water and spirit, you can enter the kingdom. Let me tell you just another thing or two about people born of... And this just opens... This just keeps opening up. It's total, complete, and perfected in Christ. You will become the full statue of Christ. You know, somebody said, have you been saved? Sure, I'm saved. I got saved. I've been born again. Well, you got the beginning of salvation, but you certainly have not been totally born again. Not in the Spirit. But anyway, let me. That's another message, and you don't have time to stay here all night to hear it. But let me tell you something else the wind can do. The wind can be here at this hour, and that same wind, in its form and its pattern, can be down in South America at any given time, or at the speed that it's traveling, that same wind can be in South America. When I go to my knees and move in the Spirit and begin to pray in the Spirit and I begin to get caught up in the Spirit, any part of the earth that I want to, I have that potential in the Spirit. Now, only in the Spirit. In the natural, I do not have anything like that potential, but in the Spirit, I can touch the missionaries in Africa. I can touch them in Mexico, in Japan, the Philippines. I mean, there is an unlimited scope of ministry in the Spirit. Amen. See, Paul wrote to the churches and he said, when you're gathered together in your church with my Spirit, I behold your conduct. He didn't want it to actually, in the Spirit of Christ, to be present with the church. Now, I know that sounds kind of wild, but see, he that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. That they are here is what you put on them. You're like a faith, you're like a believing, you're like a moving out. How many times have you ever just felt so low that you had to look up to see bottom? You ever feel that low? Do you ever feel like in the Spirit you was just pressed to the bottom? And all of a sudden something happened. And you wasn't that way anymore. Well, it didn't just happen to you. Somebody touched you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody ministered to you. Oh, praise God. Many, many times I've been lifted out of the press because someone ministered to me in the Spirit. This is kingdom ministry. It's kingdom manifestation. And until you hear it, you won't know it's possible until you see it in the Word. But I'd read John chapter 3 hundreds of times, but one day when I was sitting on a roof, hot and sweaty and tired, and just a little cool breeze touched my body, that Word came alive. And every word that you have put in your Spirit, every time that you sit and you study the Word of God and you put that into your Spirit, you have the potential of the Spirit of God bringing it and making it alive in you. Boy, Paul said to the Thessalonians, 2:13, I believe he said, the Word is working effectually in you that believe. It has a force, and it's working in you that believes. Praise God. This is the time and this is the hour for the believer to get a hold of every spiritual weapon that he can hold and maintain and operate, because we are coming to an end of an age and the seventh day is upon us. Praise the Lord. There was a time I didn't even read my scripture, but I do that. I want to read about three scriptures where it talks about that interchange, the changing, the metamorphosis of the believer. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Right now we are the sons of God. 1 John 3 verse 2. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? How is he? Woo! When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And now listen to this. Here is what you have that causes that change in you. Every man that hath this hope in him. Every man that hath this hope or this expectation in him. Now, this is not just wishful thinking. This is scriptural hope. This hope goes with love, faith, hope, and love. This is one of the ingredients that you find in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, where it says, now abideth. And that means that it is age abiding. When you look that up, you'll find that faith, hope, and love is age abiding. It will carry us to the end of this age. And every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself. even as he is pure. You cannot afford to lose your hope. Many of God's people have lost their hope. Many of God's people has lost the fervor, or the fire, or the zeal. They no longer have that hope, that expectation of beholding him. This is the glorious hope that Titus tells us about, of appearing and becoming like him. Hallelujah. Care if I shout? Woo! Y'all doing a little better than you was last night, but you just like I was last night. You were tired or something. You couldn't move with me.
That word pure is an adverb.
Sir?
That word pure is an adverb of holy.
Okay. Bill says that the word pure here is a adverb of being holy. Hallelujah. You think it's going to take a little changing? All right, the Spirit changes us. This expectation or this hope changes us. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're going to see some things that really is going to change us. 2 Corinthians 3, we'll read 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty, emancipation, glory to God. Now listen, you're going to see the word metamorphosis again, the change. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are metamorphosed, are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You certainly do not see that change within the natural man. It does not show up in the natural man, but in the inner man, the God man, or the new creation man, it is happening from the inside as we behold the glory of God as in an open glass. How many of you know that there's been some changes? You know that there's been some changes that took place inside. Sure, when you was born again, you become that new creation, all the potential of the new creation. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was another change. And even day by day, as you behold Him in the Word of God, as you see yourself in the Word of God, and as that Word gives life, there is a constant change from one degree of glory to another, from one degree of faith to another. It's revealed in the Word of God. Hey, there is a change taking place. Now it does matter that you believe that. If you're going to behold His glory, His excellent glory, it makes a difference. Somebody said, well, it don't make any difference. I can just stay status quo. I'm saved and sanctified and going to go to heaven and waiting on the rapture. Quit kidding yourself. Amen. When you quit growing, when you quit changing, when you quit transforming within, you begin to lose that life. That life begins to wane out of you. Stay alive. Everybody stay alive. Stay alive with the Word. Stay alive with the Spirit. Stay alive with the expectation. The hope of His appearing. Glory to God. You need that change. You need that inner drive and transformation. You'll live longer. I said, you'll live longer. You'll add years to your life.
Yeah.
If you walk in this, I'll promise you, you'll live longer. Amen?
Yeah.
And I believe if you get involved with it to the fullest extent, that the enemy can't touch you with viruses and with sicknesses.
Amen.
Jesus never was sick. He never had a virus. Amen. Because they couldn't live. The viruses couldn't live in the life of God. And they can't live in this atmosphere, in this environment. One reason, it's not their environment. Sicknesses and diseases is of the devil.
Amen.
And they were originated because man sinned and permitted the flesh to become sick. And you see, they're out of their environment, they're out of their place when this temple is filled with His glory. And when there is that transformation taking place inside, they don't want to live there. They can't live there. Glory to God. I'm not getting far with this. But I'm having fun. Amen. Getting to it. Praise the Lord. I have enjoyed the last 40 years, 41 years of my life. I have enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. But I got news for you. The next 40, I'm going to have more fun.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me see where we were. And we may need to start counting, trying to wind down. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're changed from glory to glory. 1 John 3:2, that hope that we have of seeing Him as He is. Purify us or make us holy as He's holy. Let me give us one more where this word is used. And oh, how we need this operating in our lives. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brothers, for the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world. Now, this is what happens to people that don't move on with God. And they don't like to hear this. People that get lazy and don't like to pray and stretch themselves in the Lord instead of, they don't like to hear this, but I'm telling you the truth tonight. You will again conform to them very things that you were brought out of unless there is a changing and a transformation taking place in your life. Amen.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.